on 1116 SEN. The Science of Sport with Craig Harper, Jackie Lada and Mark Fabreo.
Yeah, 7 minutes past 10 o'clock. It is the Science of Sport, folks. Hello, Melbs. Am I allowed to say Melbs or am I too old to say that, Jax?
Oh, I think you've got better English than that, so we'll just say Melbourne.
Oh, come on. Come on. It's the day of brevity. It's the age of abbreviation and emojis. Jackie Lauder is the resident sports psychologist on this program, and in fact for this station, I would suggest. Professor Mark Fabreo is in absentia today. He is away. He is not well. He is shingled out and he's listening. So, hello, old fella. We hope you get better very soon. This is the show where we talk about all things health, wellness, fitness, sports, performance, psych, food, recovery, mindset, anything in that space to help you get where you want to go with your sport or your health or your fitness or your body. And if you want us to talk more broadly in terms of athletes, well-known athletes and teams, we can do that as well. 9429 1116 is the number for you to call. 0433 98 11 16. We did have a guest this morning. I'm not sure where he is. So we
will forge on without him.
I think maybe there was a miscommunication. Could be my fault. Who knows? I tend to be the cause of most problems. in most shortcomings in my world, it usually traces back to me.
Funny about that. Now, our theme song is getting done this week.
Oh, yeah.
It is getting changed. So yes, it was supposed to be for this week, but there was a few people away involved in helping us do that. So it's supposed to be done this week.
In the production area out the back that you and I never venture down to, that
yes.
is where such things happen. But I Feel Good is our new song, James Brown. And it will be, hopefully, it'll be at the front of this show next week. So it seems that we've headed back to winter,
yes,
Jack.
Yes, I know.
Transition.
And a lot of people have been struggling with that. Like normally there's a little bit of a change in our bodies when the weather changes. But it seems to be getting colder, not warmer, which is a little bit annoying. Although I must say, I, as you know, have been doing a lot more running in this year.
How's that going? How far do you run? What's a typical
I'm up
run?
To between 7 and 8 now.
It's pretty good.
So, and I'm not a runner, so this is good. My smaller distances now, and I mentioned this to someone.
Do you hear what you just did then? You would tell someone off for that. Someone who runs all the time and then they go, but I'm not a runner. What would you say to them? Would you chastise
Well, I'm still
them?
Running, but I'm not naturally a runner is what I meant.
Okay.
But what I have noticed is I go very early in the morning to fit it in because I'm a morning person, so if I waited till the end of the day, I'm too tired. But bar one day all through winter, when you go really early, I have not been rained out. And then an hour or two later when the clouds clear, all of a sudden the rain comes in. So I've actually noticed that going in the morning has actually been of benefit to me. But now it's much easier for me because through the really, really cold months, I was really disciplined. So now, even though it's wet and that's not as freezing as what it was through winter, so I get up and my shortest distance now is 5K and it doesn't scare me.
Look at you. Do you headphone it up?
No.
No cognitive dissociation?
No.
You don't? You just think about the day? Can you clear your mind without focusing on something else?
I pretty much just clear my mind and have a look at what's on around. And my sister will come with me a lot of times. So it's good you've got someone. She talks because she's a seasoned runner and I just focus on breathing.
You like, shut up, I'm trying to breathe?
No.
Shut up, I'm trying to breathe, I'm trying to run.
Because she can do the talk and fill
me
in.
No, that's a good plan. That's good synergy between her skills and your skills and her fitness. And you know, I think my observation, my anecdotal kind of observation over the years has been that not for all people, but for a lot of people that I've worked with, and even for me, people who do a workout early in the day, not only is there the physiology, you know, the benefits of that, but also mentally and emotionally,
huge.
A lot of people are set up for a much better day.
Yeah, and your mood is incredibly even and you do I'm pretty even tempered anyway, but I definitely feel a difference.
And I think, you also, I mean, my experience is you tend to manage stuff better, you make better decisions, like you said, you're more measured, you relate better, you manage stress better, or you deal with what could be stressful situations better. Yeah. But there's also that, just at the back of your mind, that, I've done that this morning.
Yeah, there is a sense of achievement,
yeah,
for sure. And I think for a lot of people, like I said, for for me, because I'm not naturally a runner, it's not the activity I love. Like, I would rather be in the pool in the morning rather than running.
Yeah.
But because it's not the activity I love, but I need to get it done, is that I've got more chance of sticking to it if I do it first thing in the morning. I get up, I chuck on my running gear. Mm. It's kind of done before I've had a chance to really talk myself out of it.
Mm.
And I think the timing of when people do exercise is really important. You've got to try and fit it in, if you can, at a peak time for you, when you know you're less likely to probably add in all of those excuses. It's too early, it's too dark, it's too wet. But I also noticed, and we can talk about this a little bit as well, is I've had a little bit of a sore knee.
Right knee, because you just touched it. Is it your right knee or is it? Oh, left knee.
It was my left. Well, it was my right and it's left.
It's transferred.
But, yep. But I said to one of the physios this week that what I've noticed with it is when I run on a treadmill is when I get my sore knee. When I run outside, I don't, which obviously means you're changing your running gait because of the suspension and everything,
right.
Which I knew from a basic perspective. But now I used to be all my running on the treadmill. Now I prefer it all outside.
You don't run as naturally when you're on a treadmill. You have to modify your gait and you have to be aware that you can't, because it's potentially dangerous on a treadmill if you're not really switched on.
Yep.
It's potentially dangerous outside too. But, I think you raise a good point in terms of, exercising early in the day. And also, I think there's something for us each to consider is what works best for your body.
Yep.
Now, there's research out that says, some people, strength training is better for them early, for some people late, some people cardio is better early. It's just a personal thing. But I know for me, even though I do most of my training, my strength training later in the day, just because that works for my life, it works out practically. And I train all right later in the day. But actually the best time, I train every Saturday morning at 10 with my training partner and I'm better at 10.
Yeah, okay.
Like I just can't do that Monday to Friday, go to the gym at 10 o'clock. But in terms of what works for my physiology, I would say I'm 10-15% stronger, in inverted commas, when I train at 10 a.m. So I'm not sure what exactly is going on.
It's probably better now from your psychology as well.
Yeah.
Because you're used to that. You know how you feel afterwards. And that's the thing. If you can break, if you're trying to change a habit or you're trying to get into a new habit, to try and do it at the right time of day for you to start with is really important. But then once you've been able to stay that little bit disciplined with it, and that's why for me, I needed my sister to come with me to start me off, was just, and she's great because she's encouraging and you know, she kind of knows me well enough, obviously, but that was what kickstarted me. Then she was away for most of winter working, but I was able to keep it going. And so what had started as a physical thing became psychologically really helped me to keep going.
9:42, 9:11, 16. Tell us about your exercise routine. What have you found works optimally for you? Not what has science or research or other people told you, but what have you just found? It might be something a little quirky or a little different, but for you, for your body, for your mind, and even for your emotions, you figured out that works for you. As you know, when I was young, for our listeners who don't know, I was a fat kid, and then I became an obsessive, ridiculous, anxious
exerciser,
fear-driven exerciseaholic, or whatever we want to call that. And it took me a long time to change my relationship with exercise so that I managed it. It didn't manage me. To what extent does it work in our favor to have exercise rituals? Or is rituals I guess I'm talking about things that we just adhere to where we go, this is my little process, this is my daily, weekly ritual. When does that go from being, well, this is a good positive thing, to hang on, you could be getting into dangerous territory in terms of addiction or obsessive compulsive behavior around that? Because anything taken to extreme, even healthy eating, once you're totally obsessed and your life revolves around it, you always think, then it gets to the point, well, this is actually destructive, not productive.
Yeah, well, I think the thing is human beings like routines. So, you know, it's good to have some structure and we do thrive more when we've got that little bit of structure. But I think when you start putting off some of the other important things in life, like, you know, you'll stop catching up with friends until you've done your exercise, when everything starts getting planned around it, And I'm not talking about once or twice moving it. If you've been, say, if you're planning for a marathon, then obviously you need to get your long runs in and whatever. That's completely different because that's event specific. But if you start moving everything else around it, if you start noticing big changes in your sleep, your appetite, your moods are a really big indicator as well that you're probably going over the top. And as you would know from a training perspective, if you've been doing the same thing for ages and you're not improving, you're actually finding now I'm getting soreness and I'm going back or I'm plateauing for extensive amount of time, that's probably an indicator you either need to change it up. But I think the other one I was going to talk to you about today was that concept of rest. People do not understand the value of rest physiologically and psychologically.
I think we'll talk about that in a moment because you make a valid point. And I think a lot of especially young people who get into training, they're almost scared to rest because they feel like they're going to go backwards. But you're right, it's a very valuable component of changing our body in a healthy way. Talking about exercise habits or rituals or maybe even obsessions. 94291116. What works for you? Have you ever got to the point where you've been a little bit out of control, not in control? And if so, how did you change your relationship with exercise? And I guess the thing that we're really talking about today from a psychological, emotional, physical point of view is how do you self-manage? How do you self-manage your mind, your body, and your life in this space? Give us a buzz. Let's talk to Dave in Croydon. G'day, Dave.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
This is a bizarre one, but before I go for a jog or run, and I just do it casually, but maybe three, four times a week, I've got to brush my teeth. No matter what time I go for a run, brush your teeth because the air feels cleaner and fresher.
That's hilarious.
So you're getting a psychological benefit from that, Dave, obviously?
Yeah, I just feel better.
What happens on a day where you haven't?
I haven't done it for a while. So, as in, I haven't not brushed, so yeah.
That's, both your mind and your teeth are the beneficiaries of that weird little ritual, Dave. But, that's a ripper.
Can I ask, Dave, how did that start? Was that just random and you just went, you know what, this actually makes a difference?
Yeah, just morning jog, you know, 5:30 in the morning. Yeah, sort of have a cup of tea and then go and thought, I'll just start brushing my teeth before I go. And it just feels better. It really does. It's crazy, I know, but...
You know what, Dave? I reckon if it works, it doesn't. I think we overthink some things.
Absolutely.
And if that works for you, Dave, in fact, I can see Jackie writing notes now. I think she's going to start prescribing that and call that the Dave protocol.
I do that too, though, but I haven't noticed. But I'm going to pay attention to the freshness of the air now.
Thanks for your call, Dave. We're talking about weird little habits and behaviours and protocols and maybe even obsessions that you have around health and wellness and your body and fitness and your exercise program. Let's talk to Jason in Essendon. G'day, Jason.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're great. Thanks.
I was just reading because I thought it was slightly interesting that I'm directly opposite to Jackie in that psychologically I can't run probably any more than 50 metres down the street. But I'm just a little bit out of breath now because I just finished at the gym. And basically I sprinted almost 8Ks. In about an hour and 10 minutes.
On the treadie?
On the treadmill. But then if you told me to run home, which is about 200 metres away, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Why? Well, clearly that's a psychological thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's not physiological, because if you can run 8Ks on the treadie, you can definitely run outside.
And an hour and 10 is not a terrible pace. Like, that's, you know, that's an average pace.
Where do you think that comes from, Jason?
I'm not sure. I think when I was probably a bit younger and a bit fitter, I had no trouble running around the street. For instance, you know, I used to live in the city here and live in the city in Brisbane, and I used to run around the river tracks, and did probably 8, 10, 15 k's at a time, no dramas. But I put on probably a little bit overweight, and just probably psychologically don't like the idea of running down the road and having people look at me all the way it makes me feel, possibly.
Yeah.
I will tell you, though, for you and also for our listeners, one of the things about, let's say, for example, you're jogging at a set pace, let's just say 10 kilometres an hour running on the treadmill versus running at the same pace outside, you're actually working much harder when you're running outside at that pace because you don't have essentially a moving surface below you. So not only are you working harder, but your energy expenditure is greater, so you're burning more calories per unit of time. So my advice, if you want to progress, is even though you don't love it, even though you're not excited about it, get outside a little bit, even if it's once a week, and even if you only run 500 metres or 1 kilometre to start, you'll find that you'll start to get more benefit than doing the same thing the same way on the treadie. Let's go to Simon in North Caulfield. G'day, Simon.
Morning, guys. How are you going?
Good, thank you.
Thanks.
Just a little trick I take. I've got two young guys, and we go out for a bit of a run. Well, getting them up at 6 in the morning with a 15-year-old, 11-year-old isn't easy, but we go out and we do about 3K in the morning. We try and do it 3 or 4 times a week. We've got this little game we play where we're running along. If we pass somebody and they say hello to us, you get 1 point. If they talk back to you, you get 2 points. And if they say hello to you first, you get 3 points. And we try and sort of, when you're going in winter and the weather's not good, it's hard to get, we try and get up to, trying to get 18, 20 points in the morning. And it sort of keeps you engaged, gives you something else to think about just when you're going there, and seems to help us anyway.
Mate, I've got a killer idea for you. Go for a run at Victoria Market. You'll get a million. You'll get a million points.
We were in Hawaii over summer, last summer, and Hawaii, they're all fitness mad. There's a million people out, and you're also running a little bit late. We did a run there. You do just over 3K there. We scored like 50-plus points. You can't do that in Melbourne in the morning in the suburbs. It doesn't quite work. But,
it's a great idea, though, again, just to make it that little bit of fun. Mm. Is there a reward when you reach a certain number of points? Do the kids
not really get
to choose what's for breakfast or something?
Yeah, no, not really. It's just something to keep us occupied, something else to keep you occupied when you're running. And,
it's just a
good idea.
It's a good one, Simon. Thanks for your call. Yes, Jackie, with your finger up.
Well, I was just going to go back to the previous call from Jason, the running outside. If you're not a runner, and I can totally relate to this, is when I first started to move from the gym to running outside.
So from treadmill to outside.
Yeah, from treadmill to outside. I felt exactly the same because you see so many people, and where I work, I can run around the tan and up and down the river and stuff. And I didn't want people to see me running either because I'm like, well, I don't have a terrible running style or anything like that, but you are much more self-conscious about it. But also what I did to make that transition, which might help other people, is I actually started at a track. So it was flat.
Like a 400-metre track.
Yeah, like a 400-metre track. So it was flat, but also it was good support from the surface. And what I could do then was I could run a little bit, walk a little bit. So I said, okay, well, I'm just going to start with, say, 2K.
Yeah.
And you'd run, walk as you felt comfortable, and then just try and push myself a little bit more each time. And that sometimes can make it a little bit easier.
That's the voice of Jackie Lauder, sports psychologist from Olympic Park. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, Bob in Endeavour Hills is going to chat with us. And you can be just like Bob if you ring 9429 1116, 9429 1116, or send us a question, 0433 98 1116. Talking health, wellness, fitness. We're going to talk at some stage in this hour, kids and fitness, kids and competition, kids and sport. When should they get serious?
On 1116 SEN, The Science of Sport with Craig Harper, Jackie Lada and Mark Fabreo.
Ooh, I probably should adjust that off air, but, it gives it that organic kind of flavour. It is 28 minutes past 10 o'clock. It is, of course, a Science Sport every Sunday between 10 and 11 for the next 5 or so months. Jackie Lauder and myself, and periodically Professor Mark Fabreo will be here. He's a bit crook today. I'll tell you who's not crook. Bob in Endeavour Hills. G'day, Bob. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, g'day. How are you?
Super good.
Oh, fantastic. I just want to say that I've just pulled over. I just want to say that you've got more energy in the morning because you're less fatigued. I've noticed that myself, like during the day, in the evening, I'm very tired, energy levels are down. So that's probably, I feel more stronger in the morning than what I do in the evening, just like you.
Yeah, well, you and me both, man. I think it's the time of the day where you get up and everything's recharged, your batteries are good to go. And what kind of training do you do, Bob?
Well, I do, I'm a basic coach. I teach basic coaching. I teach how to use the body. Because if you don't know how to use your body, you don't know what you're doing.
Well, right. That makes sense. Who do you work with? Do you work with athletes or the general pop?
No, just the general public. But most people, even trainers, don't know how to train. Some trainers don't even know how to train because they don't know how to use the body. It's all about mind muscle, not mind weight.
Right. I reckon, too, you feel better in the morning if you've had really good quality sleep. So I think the sleep is really important from that perspective.
Yep, you're exactly right, Bob. Thanks for your call. And keep doing good work with the general public. And, you know, I think another reason, too, Jax, why sometimes we feel stronger in the morning is because our hormones have changed a little bit.
Yep.
Mikey's coming in here to fix the computer live on air. I asked him to sit on my knee, but he's not interested. But it's because, especially for guys, your testosterone levels are a bit higher in the morning.
Yep.
And growth hormone levels are a little bit higher in the morning, or they can be. And so you literally do have a little bit more strength, which is sometimes the reason why we feel a little bit more energetic. So there is a, not just, good work, Mikey, not just a psychological element, but there's also a legitimate physiological component.
Yep.
If you want to talk to us for the next half hour, we're here 9429 1116 or SMS is 0433 98 1116. Now, I thought we might open the door. We're open to talk to you guys about anything, but we might open the door on the conversation around children and exercise. Jackie Louder, stop reading that screen. Thoughts? When is it okay for kids to start to train versus just be active? And now we're not talking about competition here, but like if mums and dads are going, all right, well, I've got a chubby 8-year-old,
yep,
or I've got an overweight 8-year-old, and we're not judging, we're not labeling, we're just going, okay, there's an issue there. I'd like him or her to be a bit healthier, to move a bit more, because I'm just concerned, not about how they look, just concerned about how their health is. When's an okay time to start training, or do we not even use that word? Do we just talk about movement?
Yeah, I think certainly under the age of 10 or 11, absolutely, it's all about movement and participation and the social component of sport. So kids, if they're involved in a number of different sports, they're using all the different parts of their body. So, you know, if they're doing gymnastics once a week, if they're playing basketball, if they're doing Auskick, I think anything under the age of 11 should all be about just movement, participation, have a real social fun component to it. There's some of the research that's out when we start to look at kids having to choose a particular sport, and I'm excluding here a sport like gymnastics,
right?
Because the world level of participation at, you know, at an absolute elite level, they're a lot younger. So let's take that sport out for a second.
Mm.
But every other sport, up until the age of 14, to be doing two main sports, so it might be cricket and football or whatever, is there's no problem with doing that. And what they say is when you do choose your sport at around that age, the transfer of skills from the other one helps you heaps in the one you've chosen to look at more specifically. So I would say around 14 or 15 is when we start to put in a few more specific programs for them. But as you would know, from a weights perspective, that's still got to be monitored very carefully.
All right. Just now, Dave, Richard in Frankston, Richard in Templestowe, coming to you in 1 sec. I've just got to ask Jackie one more question while I'm on a roll. When or how, I've been asked this question a lot of times over the years, so I want to ask you this question. When can we start to talk to kids about their health and their fitness and maybe their weight? Or do we never mention weight? Do we just, when is it okay as a parent to have that conversation where we go, okay, so, you know, you need to be more active, or these are the reasons why, or, you know, there are better and worse foods. When do we don't have that conversation with a 4-year-old. When
No.
do we have that conversation?
I think when they're in primary school, you don't need to have that conversation other than around it as a family topic. We eat healthy, we do this and that, because, you know, then you can use yourselves as parents to say, this is why, you know, we want to be fit and healthy so that we can work and we can play with you guys and we can do all these things. I think when you get to secondary school is when your brain's a little more able to focus on things, but the context in which you explain it,
yeah,
you need to put it in with other things.
So tricky, isn't it?
Yeah. So the reason that we would talk about health and weight and exercise is because, you know, you're going to be spending more time sitting down because you're going to be studying harder through secondary school, the level of homework, everything goes up. And you look at the benefits of why we need to keep exercising from the overall perspective.
Makes sense. If you want to join the conversation, 9429 1116, Jackie Louder, Craig Harper here until 11 o'clock. Let's go to Dave in Ballarat. G'day, Dave.
How you go?
Yeah, good, thanks.
I'm a little bit different. I've had chronic fatigue syndrome now for 40 years.
Wow.
And it's no good me trying to train in the mornings because I have, low circulating blood volume. So blood volume get down to about 2/3. So you need to build it up during the day. So I would tend to train at night time to get the best out of myself.
Yeah, that's, I mean, what you're doing, Dave, is smart, is you're just paying attention to what your body's telling you. And, you know, your body, and people think I'm being flippant when I say this, but your body is super intelligent. But one of the problems is in 2016, we've disconnected from our body because we don't really pay attention. We have a bit of pain, we take a drug, we're tired, we take something to keep us awake. But rather than just paying attention and figuring out what works optimally for us, a lot of us don't. So it's good that you know what's working for you and you're doing what's working.
Dave, can I also say I had chronic fatigue for 5 years. I had to manage it.
Wow,
so
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Hmm. Yep. So I certainly know what it's like. But the earlier in the day you can get moving, so I'm not talking about, you know, proper exercise sessions and everything, but if you what they used to look at with chronic fatigue was that rest and doing things later. And most of the research now, and I certainly specialise in it a bit because I've had it, is the earlier we can get people moving and up and about and not always just giving in. And it is a mental battle. But if you can start to work your exercise back a little bit earlier each day, that's certainly going to help with the recovery.
Thanks for your call, Dave. Thanks for your input, Jack. Let's go to Richard in Frankston. G'day, Richard. Thanks for your call.
Oh, morning, Craig. Morning, Jackie. How are you both?
Good, yeah, we're great.
Good to hear. I'm 47 years old. Loved running for about 4 years. Ran my first marathon last Sunday, which was fantastic.
Oh, congrats.
Thank you. I'd like to keep running because it just makes my life so much better. But I'm probably, the question I want to ask is it worth seeing a running coach to make sure that my technique is okay and I'm not going to be causing too much impact on my joints and that sort of thing?
Yeah, look, it definitely can be. Do you have any injuries at the moment? How's your body holding up now?
It's really good. I had a medial meniscus tear in my knee in 2 years ago, but that's recovered okay. And the guy said, the surgeon said, I don't think you'll be doing too much running, but I've done lots more and it hasn't seemed to have caused any dramas. But I read a lot about, you know, heel strikers and, needing to land more towards your forefoot and that sort of thing. So it interests me.
I've had people who have, and this is not a reflection necessarily of the running coach, I've had people who have gone to see running coaches and it's fixed them, in inverted commas, or made them more biomechanically efficient or more fluid in their technique. And then I've had other people who have gone to see running coaches who come away confused because all they're doing is thinking, they're not running naturally, and they're going, oh, I don't know now. And then they start to get anxiety. And look, my advice is if everything's working and you've got no injuries and you're okay, and I think you would know if you've got a biomechanical problem. And I'm sure some biomechanists out there are yelling at the radio right now. But, I think if you don't have an injury and if you feel like you're running pretty well, you've just run your first marathon, which is 42.2, and you've pulled up okay, I'd probably leave it status quo at the moment. Thanks for your call, Richard. Who's next on the line, Jack?
Richard is our next one in line in Templestowe.
Hi, Richard.
Good morning, Richard.
Hi there. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good, good. I just got in the car and heard you talking about children and energy and stuff like that. Basically, I have an 8-year-old boy who suffers with a slight case of ADHD, so he's on a Concerta, so his patterns of behaviour up and down. Anyway, he's on a low scale average height and weight. And the doctor's not overly concerned. He just says to make sure he's eating. And he eats a hell of a lot, but he's all skin and bone.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, is there some sort of protein we can give? Because he's got no muscle definition, basically.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think it might be easier because of his energy levels. And he's very active, et cetera, but we don't know whether, you know, the doctor keeps saying to us, make sure he's eating, just make him eat more, but, you know, yeah, they love their food, but they can only eat so much.
Yeah.
We're slightly concerned that, because he's average height and average weight, or lower scale of that, whether to get him some protein supplements or something like that to help build muscle definition up, and I was just wondering if your thoughts on it.
So, Richard, first thing, tell me about you. How tall and what do you weigh and how tall are you? Because he's probably going to be a version of you.
Yeah, I'm 6'2" and 90 kilos.
Okay, so you're a solid lad.
Yeah.
No, look, it would be irresponsible of either of us to say, yes, he should do this or that.
Yeah.
But having said that, look, if he's still in the weight range, even albeit at the lower end of the weight range, and he doesn't have, you know, other than demonstrating, you know, ADHD tendencies or whatever, but he's not showing any physical problems or symptoms because of that, I wouldn't worry. Look, I know sometimes, and I'm not prescribing this, but sometimes even something like, which I wouldn't suggest too many grown-ups have, but something like Sustagen Gold, which has got a fair bit of fat, a fair bit of sugar, and a fair bit of protein, I definitely shouldn't be having that. Jackie shouldn't be having that. But an 8-year-old who's low weight and super active, it's probably not the worst thing to think about at some stage, because it's very digestible. And it tastes yummy, and they don't have to sit and have a meal per se.
Yeah, that's the thing. He gets fed up. He'll eat his dinner and then just want to play.
Yeah,
so, you know,
that's a great sign though.
We're great, but we take him swimming, and you see when he comes out swimming pool, and you look around, and he's in the same age group, and you think he's a very small 8-year-old in definition of his body and height. You know, and it's, you know, we gradually over the last year or so begin to notice it more.
Yeah.
You know? Obviously, we don't want a big kid, if you know what I mean. But we look like it looks like we don't feed him at times.
So you look like negligent parents.
Yeah,
well, I mean, yeah. All right.
I think the other thing that's really important with this phone call particularly is with kids that have ADHD, you do need to keep them moving. And so he'll grow into his own body and whatever. But the fact that he's doing exercise from an ADHD perspective, it's helping to release dopamine from your brain, which helps kids with ADHD who can improve their focus. It decreases their impulsiveness. It can help with some of their social skills doing some of these things. So the benefits of that, whilst I understand you're saying he's little, I think what you're doing at the moment is 100% the right thing.
Thanks for your call, Richard. Listening to the Science Sport of Melbourne's Home of Sport. That's Jackie Louder. It's 8 minutes to 11 o'clock. We're going to take a break. We want you to call us because, by God, we want to talk to you. 942. We're just hanging out for a discussion. We don't like each other much, so please get in the middle of it because it could get ugly. 9429 1116.
On 1116 SEN, The Science of Sport with Craig Harper, Jackie Louder and Mark Fabreo.
Well, giddy up, buttercup. Coming up after 11 o'clock, Brett Phillips, Paul Aiken and Sean Munawira will be here for the first serve, talking all things tennis, and BP will be just driving the ship this afternoon on Sports Central, Sunday Sports Central, as he does most Sundays now. 16 minutes to 11 o'clock, the Science Sport, Jackie Louder, Craig Harper. Dave Idd in Pasco Vale has joined us. G'day, David.
Yeah, g'day. How you going?
Yeah, we're great.
Love your show. I've just stumbled upon it this morning, and I'll be a regular. I think it's a fantastic.
Goody gumdrops.
Fantastic topic. I was just ringing up about kids and training.
Go.
With a slightly different perspective. I'm a triathlete and do a few marathons during the off-season in the winter.
Mm.
My wife's a runner as well.
Mm.
And we've always included the kids in our training.
Mm.
So a lot of our long-distance running and things like that, the kids from a pretty early age have been in a pram and been out running with us, and also take them out on the bikes and things like that as well. So I just think it's important to, you know, set the example and include kids in the training and in the events.
Yeah,
100%. A lot of our holidays are around events as well, going to triathlons and things up in different states. So,
but their social, what you're doing there is quite different to what we're saying before. We're talking about specific training programs for the kids. What you guys are doing is absolutely healthy in that they're doing it with you. They can see from a lifestyle perspective, there's a social component to it. So from that side of things, I 100% agree.
I suppose what I was getting at was, it is slightly different, but we do talk to our kids about training and they actually talk to us about wanting to train as well.
How old are they?
5 and 3.
I think they'll actually
do triathlons and things around the house.
That's cool. Look, I think it's a little bit of a language thing too,
yeah.
Whereas I'm an exercise scientist, David, so when I come from the place of talking about training, I'm talking essentially about exercise prescription. Jackie also has a human movement degree, but I know exactly what you're saying, and in the context that you're talking about it, I think it's amazing.
It's healthy, yeah.
I think it's great, and well done. Thanks for your call, man. Keep listening. Let's go to Peter in Reservoir. G'day, Peter.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I was just interested, heard you talking about chronic fatigue, and I suppose more a question for Jackie, who's obviously had experience with it.
Yeah.
But I've suffered it I live with it for probably over 20 years now. For the first 10, I was constantly looking at ways to, cure it. Now I've just changed my lifestyle, so I just live with it. But I'd be just interested in knowing what the latest research is as to, why it occurs firstly, and is there anything you can do about it?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely things you can do about it. There's a great clinic in Blackburn called Active Health, and they specialise in chronic fatigue. So they have exercise physiologists there and that. So they're certainly a port of call that I would look at as well. But what the research is saying now is they are relating it to a lot of people who have hypermobility, have been found to have chronic fatigue. There's the post-viral component to it as well. So it depends, if you've had glandular fever, a lot of people will then end up with chronic fatigue as well. And the other way is if you just keep, and this is what happened to me, when you just keep pushing and pushing and you don't listen to your body and you're not having the appropriate rest time is when it happens. For a couple of things where I started to feel like I'd really made progress and recovered was I didn't read a whole heap of information on chronic fatigue, because what I found was when I kept reading things, I couldn't tell the difference between what I'd read and what was actually my body. Because as soon as you feel something, that line's been a little bit blurred. So I just put everything to the side and started to listen to my body. I stopped labelling days as a good day or a bad day, because if you wake up in the morning and you say, it's going to be a bad day, the only thing you pay attention to is all the stuff that's not so great. What I did, I broke my day into two halves, my morning, and then I would reassess at lunchtime. How do I feel right now? What do I feel like I can do right now? And then I also had to be aware, and a lot of people with chronic fatigue don't necessarily know this, is that when you go into social settings, noise and light are also really important things to factor in, because if you do have a fatigue state and you go into a very, very noisy environment, you're going to get fatigued a lot more. So I started to limit my catch-ups with my friends to one-on-one and quieter environments until I felt stronger.
Thanks for your call, Peter. Bunch coming through off the SMS. If you want to send us a message like these people have done, sorry we haven't mentioned any this morning, because the first half of the show, our screen was dead. It has now come to life. Mikey breathed life into it. Our panel op, Wiley, came and sat on my knee, and which was kind of fun, and adjusted all things computers. There's 5 screens in front of me, 3 screens in front of Jackie, and then about 17 TVs in here. So it's very busy. Off the SMS. G'day. You know why I like this, Jack? Because I don't know why, but I had the exact same thing. This is from Jamie. G'day, guys. When I was younger, I could consistently run 3:40 Ks, so a kilometre in 3:40 minutes, which is, I'm going to say that's around 16 kilometres an hour in the dark. But during the day, I could never break 4 minutes. So he ran faster in the dark at night than he did. And I used to run at night a lot as well, and because it was cooler and it was dark. I don't know why, but it would, same. I would fly. I would do my normal, say, 10K run 3-4 minutes quicker at night, virtually every time. I don't know. It's some kind of sensory shift or something.
Well, I think
maybe I was scared. Maybe I was scared.
It could also be too. There is less people around, so it might be a little bit quieter, a little bit calmer. So maybe you could actually just get into a rhythm and have less distractions and not as self-conscious through the night. So maybe that's the reason.
Maybe. Another one. Now, Billy sent this through 13 times, so we better acknowledge it. When you wake up in the morning, aren't your blood sugar levels low so you can feel flat for a while? Something I've heard. Billy O, you're right, that can be true, for not for everybody all the time, but for some people you wake up, and that's why some people actually need to get some sustenance into mm-hmm. them before they can go out and do any kind of exercise.
What about this one, go. Craig? Advice for recovering from last week's Melbourne Marathon for an amateur runner after a week off. Is it okay to throw yourself back into running this week?
Depends what you mean by throwing yourself back into running. Absolutely. So pay attention to your body. It all depends on, you know, recovery is important, but then you get to a point where you're taking too long off and you'll start to go backwards. But from a marathon, my recommendation normally would be do next to nothing for a day or two. And by that, I mean just your normal life, no exercise. Probably day two or three, go for a walk. Day three or four, walk, swim. I wouldn't run for about a week, and my first run would be a 30-minute, easy-peasy, move my body, jog. So working
on the flat?
Yeah, on the flat, nothing hard, just move your legs, see how you feel. Because although running a marathon is a heck of achievement, it's not natural, and it's actually not a great thing for your body. The training is better than the actual event. So it's not that it's a terrible thing, but it's very stressful, which is why people don't run 20 marathons a year.
But the water work that you were mentioning is important, isn't it?
100%, because it's not weight-bearing.
Yep.
So it's a very therapeutic environment if you're in a warm pool. And it means that you can work your heart and lungs without taxing joints, ligaments, tendons, without that impact that you've had last weekend.
What about, we see on the TV a lot, the footballers going down into the ocean. What's the value of salt water? Because they're obviously doing that for a reason.
Yeah, look, the cold is of value from an inflammation point of view, but also there's this, I don't know, someone smarter than me will know, but there seems to be some correlation between being in salt versus just being in normal cold, fresh cold water.
Maybe Mark can answer that when he gets back.
Maybe he can. We're going to go to a break. We're on the home straight, listening to Science Sport on Melbourne's Home Sport. If you want a quick chat with us, 9429 1116. Back very soon.
On 1116 SEN, the Science of Sport with Craig Harper, Jackie Lada, and Mark Fabreo.
Welcome back to Melbourne's Home of Sport. We want to say to you, we're getting a little cult following. We love it. If you enjoy the show, we'd love you to spread the message every Sunday between 10 and 11, Jackie and I and Mark when he's here. Science of Sport. We get some really good feedback, and this is a labour of love for us. We don't get paid. We do it because we want to share some advice and inspiration and education and create a bit of connection and just give back a little bit. We both have good jobs. We both do very well outside of this, but we enjoy doing this. So if you enjoy what we do, spread the love. That'd be awesome. Let's go to Sean. Sean will be our last caller because we're on the home straight in North Dandenong. Morning, Sean.
Morning, guys. How are you doing?
Terrific. Thanks.
Great show. Listen, a question for you, and I get you can't give exacts or specifics, but just a generalisation. What about those of us that aren't overly healthy? Like a few years ago, I suffered from a heart attack, which led to some other things. And as recently as this year, I've gone through glandular fever with some viral infections. Yet I know I'm at my best when I'm exercising, but there's always that not sure what to do and how much to do when you're not healthy and fit. Have you got any advice for those of us that aren't always healthy, how we can maintain, or you know, just some advice on what we can do about our exercise?
Yep. I'm going to say to you, Sean, manage all the things that are in your control or control your controllables. So what's in your control largely is how well hydrated you are, how you manage your stress, how much sleep you have, what you put in your mouth, how you move your body and how often you move your body. Jackie would be the first to say it's not all about your head, and I'm the first to say it's not all about your body. It's all about a bunch of things, and it's trying to control your controllables, recognize the things that you can manipulate, and recognize the things that are going to make a difference and do something about those. So even if you do have pre-existing medical stuff, which a lot of people do, that's cool. Say, all right, what are the other things that I can do to function as optimally as I can, even with that condition or even with that challenge? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Watch what goes in my mouth and you know, if I can hydrate more often than not, do that. Give myself every advantage that I can give myself. Yeah.
100%, yeah. Mate. I'm 53. I've got a stuffed back and a bunch of things, and I can't undo that. But so what I do is I go with a stuffed back, with stuffed shoulders. Being a 53-year-old bloke, what's the best way for me to do A, B, and C? Do that and go from there. We appreciate your time and your call. Thanks, Sean.
I like the SMS that's just come through. Are you seriously telling us you don't get paid to be on air? We are absolutely telling you that. 100%.
Do not.
Yep. We don't get a cracker.
So that person who sent that, do not get paid 1 cent. Do this show because...
we love it.
Well, SEN graciously give us the opportunity and we appreciate that.
Yep.
So it's not a reflection on them. It's our choice. We do that and we do it gratefully. And they give us an hour graciously. And, you know, there seems to be, we have, people who enjoy what we talk about. So, yep,
which is good. Also, we will quite happily give a shout out to Jake Ward, who's running from the Gold Coast to Cranbourne to raise money for breast cancer research. That's impressive.
Now, just quickly, we're talking about, someone asked about treadmills versus running outside. I'm just going to say quickly, running on a treadmill at... say, now this is very rough science, at 10 kilometres an hour is probably the equivalent of running outside at maybe 8 or 9. So it's not a true indication. So if you're running at 15 kilometres an hour on a treadmill, which is pretty quick, you're probably doing the equivalent of about 13 outside. And also remember that, depending on your running technique, sometimes a treadmill's good because it's got a sprung deck and the rubber is a little bit more forgiving, but we heard earlier people like Jackie who it's the other way around. So you need to figure it out. Jackie, it's been fun. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, no worries. We've written a couple of topics down for the next few weeks.
Enjoy your week, folks. Thanks to Jackie, our producer, Mikey, our panel op. Coming up after 11 o'clock, BP, Paul Aiken, Sean Manawira, First Serve. Enjoy your week, folks. We'll be back here at 10 o'clock, same time next Sunday.